You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, the third part of a four-part look at the career of legendary Broadway composer, Burton Lane. Lane is best known for his remarkable scores for Finian's Rainbow and On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever. This program was originally broadcast in 1981.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was a look dawn to something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
Good afternoon and welcome to Anything Goes. Today's program is the conclusion of a two-part tribute to composer Burton Lane. Last week we looked at the earlier part of Mr. Lane's career, his film scores to Dancing Lady, Babes on Broadway, and Dancing on a Dime, and his early contributions to the Broadway musical theater, Three's the Crowd and Hold On to Your Hats. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus. I hope you'll join Anything Goes for the next hour and a half as we listen to a pre-recorded interview with Burton Lane and songs from his scores to Finian's Rainbow, On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever, Carmelina, his film scores to Royal Wedding and Give a Girl a Break, and rare recordings of Mr. Lane himself at the piano. Come in 1947 to a small show like the small Irving Berlin White Christmas, Finian's Rainbow, which is a masterwork in the musical theater. There's just no getting around it. And if you had written that alone, you would deserve to be on this program. That's in my opinion anyway. It's a great show. You know that the movie was just on. I just saw it.
It's terrible.
Oh God, who's that director? He should be shot.
Well, it's Coppola.
It's Francis Ford Coppola. He didn't understand the show at all.
That was the second picture he ever directed.
It's a shame because he didn't understand the show at all.
He didn't understand anything.
Boy, yeah. What a shame. I bet if he did it today, it'd be a different film. How did Finian's Rainbow evolve? How did that all get started?
Yip and Fred Sadie, who worked with Yip on the book, had done a first draft, and then Yip brought it to my attention. And his first thoughts were that I should split the score with Earl Robinson, Yip had written some songs with Earl Robinson, who had written Ballad for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And Yip was in his American folk period at that point, and he had written a song with Earl Robinson called The Free and Equal Blues. And he wanted to use that as the finale of the first act. And I, when he brought me this idea of Finian's, I was bowled over. I thought it was simply wonderful. I thought the premise was wonderful. I thought what it had to say was wonderful. The characters were marvelous. And I didn't think I would be able to do it. I said, you should go for George Gershwin, not me. I don't have enough training and enough. I've never done anything as challenging as this, and I don't think I'm up to it. I had that feeling, and plus I had a feeling that the second act wasn't very good. I had reservations about how they were treating the second act. So between Yip's reluctance to change the second act and my original fears, about 3 months went by before I said yes. And Yip did change the second act, but I say this because I know you'll get to another story later on about Flahouli, which Yip was very stubborn about making changes where he was involved in the book. Lyrical changes were no problem, but book changes were impossible. Anyway, we started to work on the show. And within a short time, Yip saw that there would be a total clash of styles if I were to do half the score in Earl Robinson, because although Earl was very capable doing the kind of things that he did best, they were not theatrical. And
there's a big difference.
Yeah. There is a big difference, and I had a vision of what I wanted to hear, and it had to sound as if it were true folk music, but still belong to the stage.
Right.
And apparently that was accomplished, but it's very hard to describe this because I love folk music. But there's a certain kind of folk music that doesn't belong on this. You can't use dramatically.
Right. Otherwise, it just sits there.
It just lays there. You see, it doesn't have any real tension or excitement.
In Glacomora, where we come from, there's an old legend. You'll never grow old, and you'll never grow poor, if you look to the rainbow beyond the next moor.
Lovely legend. I wonder who thought it up.
My father, on the day I was born, said my father, said he, I've an elegant legacy waiting for ye. 'Tis a rhyme for your lip and a song for your heart to sing it whenever the world falls apart. Look, look, look to the rainbow falling over the hill and stream. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow the fellow who follows. So I bundled me heart, and I roamed the world free, to the east with the lark, to the west with the sea. And I'll search all the earth, and I'll scan all the skies, till I find at last in me own true love's eyes. Look, look, look to the rainbow, follow it over the hill and stream. Look, look, look to the rainbow, follow the
basically, it evolved from Yip Harburg and Fred Sadie's original book idea.
I think it was Yip's original idea. Uh-huh. I think it started with Yip, and then Freddie worked with him on it. Fred, very talented fellow, but Yip was the guy who came up with very brilliant ideas, original ideas of concept and so forth that I'm sure started with him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Yip's social outlook was more in that direction than Freddie's, and so that Yip was able to satirize the things that had to be satirized.
But always with a sense of humor.
Right.
When the idle poor become the idle rich, you never know just who is who or who is which. Won't it be rich when everyone's poor relative becomes a rocker relative and palms no longer itch? What a switch!
When we all have earned and plastic teeth, how will we determine who's who underneath?
And when all your neighbors are upper class,
you won't know your Joneses from your Esters.
Let's toast the day we drink our drinky up, but with a little pinky up,
the day on which the idle poor become the idle rich.
When a rich man doesn't want to work, he's a bon vivant.
Yes, he's a bon vivant.
But when a poor man doesn't want to work, he's a loafer, he's a lounger, he's a lazy good for nothing.
He's a jerk.
When a rich man loses on a horse, isn't he the sport?
Oh, isn't he the sport?
But when a poor man loses on a horse, he's a gambler, he's a spender, he's a lowlife, he's a reason for divorce. When a rich man chases after dames, he's a man about town, a man about town. But when a poor man chases after dames, he's a bounder, he's a rounder, he's a rutter, and a lot of dirty names.
You'll never know just who is which. When the idle poor become the idle rich.
When the idle poor become the idle rich.
When the idle poor become the idle rich. You'll never know just who is who or who is which.
No one will see the Irish or the Slav in you, for when you're on Park Avenue, Cornelius and Mike look alike.
When poor Tweedledum is rich Tweedledee, this discrimination will no longer be. When we're in the dough and off of the nut,
you won't know your banker from your butler.
Let's make the switch with just a few annuities. We'll hide these incongruities with clogs from Abercrombie Fitch.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You're listening to Anything Goes with the completion of a two-part tribute to composer Burton Lane. You heard two songs from his score to Finian's Rainbow, written in collaboration with Yip Harburg, Ella Logan, Donald Richards with the Lynn Murray Singers, performed Look to the Rainbow and When the Idle Poor Become the Idle Rich. Now back to a pre-recorded interview with composer Burton Lane.
It'd be interesting to get your perspective on Yip Harburg at this point, now that he is really gone, and just the long association you had with him.
Well, it's very... I have a lot of mixed up feelings about Yip, because there was sort of a father-son relationship, and there were a lot of... although a lot of wonderful things and feelings we had for each other, there were also a lot of frictions that developed along
the way.
But
that is the nature of a father-son relationship, too, isn't it?
I suppose so. One of the great tragedies, I think, was that people who could have written a Finian's Rainbow didn't do 10 shows together.
Right.
And
I imagine that was going to be one of my questions.
I imagine people have to wonder why two writers who were able to do that kind of work didn't do a lot more. And I'm wondering, too, as I look back, you see, and this is where the frictions would come in.
What I'm sensing you're saying is that you would have liked to have written more with Yip,
and it didn't happen. No question. But Yip had very strong feelings about the kind of things he wanted to work on. And although I was not against working on the kind of things he wanted to work on, I couldn't accept that to the exclusion of everything else. And although I brought him many... Yip felt he would be wasting his time if he didn't do a show which had social significance. I loved social significance. I loved what Finian's had to say. I never had any qualms or fears that it would be the wrong thing to do. I always was, you know, Finian's broke new ground on many fronts. And the fact that we did a fairy tale, a fantasy, a social satire, all combined in one, was a very daring thing to do, and I was aware of this, except I loved it, and Yip loved it, and Freddie loved it, and if you love something enough and you do a good job, it's going to come off. But Yip wanted to turn everything into a social significant show, and I said, you know, it doesn't work for everything. And where it works, we'll do it. And where it doesn't work, let's keep busy doing things, because there are enough things to do that we like.
Sure.
But Yip never wanted to be teamed.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to be like the eagle in me. He wanted to be free. And he wanted to keep himself available for anything that could might come his way. And that, I think, was a basic error, because even if he had decided to work with Harold Arlen, Harold is a giant. I would say was a giant. I mean, he hasn't been writing in years. But Harold was an exceptional composer. You know, he was just way above everybody.
Yeah, both of you are.
Where you can be a team, you have continuity of meeting, of working it. You just turn out because it's there to be turned out.
Yeah, and it's so collaborative to begin with.
Right, and it's very frustrating to be a lone composer or a lone lyric writer where you're not settled in with somebody. So there were a lot of things about Yip that were wonderful. Certainly a major talent, a tremendous creative man. But there were other aspects that were difficult.
Many people said that if you really knew Yip, and I, of course, only knew him peripherally, I mean, we're talking about, you know, all the bad sides. There's certainly so many wonderful sides to the man. I think I've shown that on my other programs. I think it's worthwhile to look at other
we're talking about a human being, and you know, nobody is all one thing.
Right.
People are complicated. Yip was, when he passed away, just about to be 85 years old. So there were a lot of years,
right,
of where people were molded into whatever they became.
Absolutely.
And Yip had a childhood. You know, Yip was a man who never believed he had what he had. And therefore, he was always on the make to be recognized.
Right.
When he had his recognition, he never believed he had it. And I could tell you stories about that are kind of poignant and sad. I'll tell you one time when he was at my house, we were working on Finian's. We were working in California. And as is a custom when you're working, you work and then you kibitz. We were sitting across the living room from one another, and Yip kind of looked past me, musing. And he said, "Someday I'd like to build a house. I'd like to build a house that's in a valley surrounded by mountains, and when you look out, you see the ocean." And I looked at him, I said, "Yep, you just built that house. You just moved into it. You're living there." And his eyes lowered to meet mine. And he said, "Oh, yeah."
Hmm.
Now, you know,
yeah,
that's a very meaningful tale I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I couldn't make this up.
No, I know.
And the meaning of it didn't hit me until much later. Because Yip had a drive to be recognized, that made him inadvertently, without meaning to hurt people and cause a lot of pain. And he didn't have to be that way because he had what he was after.
Yes.
He once said to me, talking about Madeline Lee, who's married to Jack Gilford,
mm-hmm,
he says, "She is simply marvelous. She is so wonderful. She gets reservations for me. I'm always treated beautifully. I said, "Well, what does she do?" He says, "Well, she calls up Sardi's when I want to go to Sardi's, and I go down there, and there's a marvelous table waiting for me." I said, "Well, geez, that's simply wonderful." And then one night I was met with Madeline Lee, and I said, "What do you do?" She said, "I just call up and say I want a table for Yip Harburg."
"Mr. Mahoney, the moon has disappeared."
"That's the valley legend, Sharon. They who meet on an April night are forever lost in love. If there's moonlight all about and there's no moon above, I look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night, blazing their light, can't hold a candle to your razzle-dazzle you. Got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. Wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon in your eyes."
"Mr. Mahoney, It takes two to make a valley legend.
I look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see. Soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night, blazing the light, can't hold a candle. Two years or dozen, you got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride, full of butterflies inside. Wanna cry, wanna fall, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. Just when I think I'm as a dove, old devil moon, deep in your eyes, blinds me with love.
Can we, since we're really on the subject of Yip, can we just talk about this last song that you wrote? Because I do want to play that. It's called Where Have I Seen Your Face Before?
And yeah, it's Yip at his best. It's
And you wrote it about 3 years ago?
About 3 years ago. I don't know, you know, yeah. It might be a little more than that or a little less. I'm not sure. Yip and I would see each other occasionally, socially. Not a lot, really. And one time we were together, and he had this lovely title. And I was moved by it and wrote this melody. And then he wrote this gorgeous lyric. And it had been our hope, that kind of dream you have of the way Yip used to always look for rainbows, that we'd end up find a show together and that we would use it. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of songs like that that we were hoping to find a spot for. And, of course, we didn't. And now that Yip is gone, I just recently played it for Chapel's Music, a publishing firm I'm with. And we're going to see what we can do. It's a kind of a song. Well, when I played it for Chapel's, they said, you know, this sounds like a standard. Sounds like a song it's inevitable that it will become a standard song. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous song.
On April 7th at the Schubert Theater, a day before what would have been Yip Harburg's 85th birthday, a celebration was held in tribute of the life work of Yip Harburg, less than a month after he tragically passed away in a car accident. And when Burton Lane came to the podium to present his thoughts about his longtime collaborator, he chose to sing the last song that they had written together.
I loved writing songs with Yip. My tunes always sounded better dressed in his lyrics. A few years ago, Yip told me a title he had, and it touched me. And then I wrote a melody, and apparently it touched him, because he wrote one of the most beautiful lyrics that I think will touch you. This was the last song we wrote together. Where have I seen your face before? Where did your eyes meet mine? Was it in time or space before? Or on some Valentine.
did we greet the dawn before? Once when the world was fair, was it in Glaucomora or perhaps in Berkeley Square? Maybe in a thousand years, someday, in some garden, I will look at you this way and say, beg your pardon, where have I seen your face before? Lighting my way to grace, how did I face the world before I saw your face? When the world was fair, was it in Glaucomora or perhaps in Berkeley Square? Maybe in a thousand years, someday, in some garden, I will look at you this way and say, beg your pardon. Have I seen your face before? Lighting my way to grace. How did I face the world before I saw
composer Burton Lane at the piano, singing the last song that he wrote with his longtime collaborator, Yip Harburg, on April 7th at the Schubert Theater on the occasion of the memorial tribute to Mr. Harburg. You've been listening to part three of a four-part series devoted to talented Broadway composer Burton Lane. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.